Gentlemen, Sunday, right? Yo, it's me. It's the Midnight Rider. That's the man, KG. And we're here for a nice little show. Welcome to the Sideline Junkies Network. If you don't know, at the bottom of the screen, you can purchase you some whiskey, some rye, and some rum. If you go to www.buyfortmose.com/discount/maniacs, and you can get a discount on your whiskey. And if you order over $130, you can get your order for free delivery. And I am the Midnight Rider. What's up, man? Let's go. Sorry.
Well, with that beautiful introduction from the one, the only Midnight Rider, I'm the boss. I'm not the boss. The boss BJ's on special assignment.
I'm
the big guy, KG. Like, he probably hear that and think, damn, you trying to take my job? Nah, bro, I'm not. You got it. Hope everybody's enjoying this New Year's Eve morning, last day of 2023. This is our last show of 2023. Normally, we do a big get-together with everybody from the Sideline Junkies all at once, but scheduling conflicts this year, so this will be our last show until the 2nd. So, Midnight Rider, how you feeling this morning?
Yo, I'm great this morning. I actually got some sleep, and sleep is very underrated for people that don't know, and for people that, you know, wake up randomly at 3:30 in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. Shout out to y'all. But I gotta give a big shout out to A, Clear Productions, B, All In Sports, C, Today's Pizza. We went to Today's Pizza yesterday, did a show from there. It's probably going to film on Tuesday. I don't know what time, but we got fan reaction, crowd reaction. The pizza was off the hook. I'm going to tell you right now, if you like jerk chicken, get the jerk pizza. If you like shrimp and salmon, get the shrimp and salmon pizza. If you like oxtail, get the oxtail pizza. The only thing I'm going to tell you, be ready for an hour-long wait. But the food is off the chain, off the charts. Shout out to Shahir and his boys over there at Today's Pizza. Sorry I'm making this a long promo for Today's Pizza, but like, they just gave us love yesterday all day. I think we were there from 1 p.m. to about 3:30, and it was just nothing but love and nothing but people coming out, and everybody was like, yeah. We got the oxtail. We got, like, the three top sellers is the oxtail, the jerk, and the salmon and shrimp. And then one dude got the salmon, shrimp, and pepperoni, which I don't know. I think he asked for bubble guts, but it looked like it was on fire and was torched. But, yeah. And then next month, I don't know where we're going, but Clear Productions is doing every month sports and pizza for a show. I think that's their last show of each month. And I'll get back to everybody with the details on that. So maybe we can mix in the Sideline Junkies, what you eating, with that whole production, and we can make it one big show, and everybody's there. So, and JTI got some camera time. JTI is my son Josh. Josh the intern is what his nickname was over on the Clear Production side. Sorry.
So good. I'm glad to hear it. Can't wait to be a part of it, because one thing I do know is pizza's great, and good pizza's even better. And I know somebody that if I can't make it, I know somebody that'll fill in for me for some good pizza.
I know that's right.
Yeah, and she, if you didn't hear, she waved a hand. That's my wife. She'll fill in for some good pizza.
Maybe we make a trip.
Hey. She say deal.
All right, bet.
Little college football before we jump into the NFL. Notre Dame routes Oregon State 40-8, win the Sun Bowl. No doubt in my mind. I got to give a shout out to Xavier because he sat up and watched the whole entire thing. I was in the room and I was looking down the hallway at the TV in the living room and I was like, okay, all right, we doing all right. I ain't got to panic. So that was absolutely great. Shout out to the Maryland Terps beating Auburn yesterday, 31-13. Music City Bowl. And that's 3 years in a row that Maryland has won a bowl game. So that is great. Hopefully this starts their turn where they're constantly ranked in the top 25.
Sorry about that.
I don't want to get into it because I don't want to hear people say, oh, I told you so. But that Florida State game yesterday. Huh?
Well, Florida State game, I mean, Florida State had like 30 dudes not even play. So that wasn't even a real representation of the Florida State Seminoles. B, let's go back a step. Maryland. Maryland underachieved again this year. I had this argument over the weekend, and I'm going to have this, I mean, yesterday, I'm going to have it now. You cannot go into a quarterback senior season with the expectation of winning 8 or 9 ball games. You have to win 9 or 10 because that is your best option. You're not good enough. I'm talking to everybody that likes Maryland. You're not good enough when your senior quarterback or your junior quarterback cannot win 9 ball games. They have to do that. That is their job because then you start over. So I don't know who the kid is. I think they got a kid, Edwards. That's the quarterback, but I don't know if he's going to be their starter next year. But you have to win. The only 3 games on your schedule that mean anything are Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. Yes, you got screwed in that option of picking up those teams. But you have to win 9 ball games because those are the 3 games that have to become question marks and questions for your team. But you can't lose to Illinois. You can't lose to Rutgers. You can't lose to Purdue. You can't lose to those teams. Get your shit together, Merlin.
Agreed. And to Florida State, I agree with you. They didn't have all their players. A lot of players opted out of the game. I guess you would call it in protest of not being
a college football player. No, it's not in protest. This is college football the way we get it now. These kids don't care, and they got every right. Because if you are being objective and you watch the landscape, you got Jake Butt, who was probably the number one tight end in his class, but he played in a bowl game, tore his ACL, and was never the same. You got Jalen Smith, who was in a bowl game against Ohio State, tore his leg up, was never the same. You're talking about guys that have had injuries in these quote-unquote exhibitions where the coach can leave, but the players got to stay. It's the biggest hypocrisy of sports where everybody that the coach can go get another job somewhere else, but the players can't leave. And then we question the player's integrity. We question if the player loves the game. No, the player loves the game, but it's about money. We've made college football a transactional sport. So if you don't enjoy the transaction where they going to leave or they going to walk away because the money ain't right and they got to get their draft status right, that's on you. And then some of these guys, they stay in college the extra year because now that NIL money is better than any money they would get in the pros. Cam Ward, guys like that. That's another issue. Because why get drafted in the league and get drafted in the 7th round or 6th round when you can make $1 million or $2 million staying the 5th year in college?
That's true. The boss BJ chimed in while he's on a special assignment. Georgia kids care.
If you say so. No. I mean, I say that because it's I think Georgia just wanted to make a point. Because I think Georgia knows they were one of the if we were being honest, Georgia's one of the top 4 teams in the country.
He also said it's only
you can't exclude Alabama and you can't exclude Texas because the money coming from them two schools is just right. And we all know that college football is a $2 whore when it comes to the money.
He also says it's only an exhibition when people don't get what they want.
Exactly.
Why didn't FSU want to prove a point that they should have been for top four? And I think about that too. And I notice a lot of kids that will opt out of these bowl games because of, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to hurt my draft stock. Yeah, this is the last time that they're going to see you before your pro day, before the combine if you're invited.
I just told you why. Jake Brown.
I got a different thinking. I just think different, so.
Nah, because you're an old school dude and you thinking about tradition and everything else. These kids are now, they're mercenaries. You got to understand that. This is a mercenary sport. The problem is that the mercenaries on the player side caught up to the mercenaries on the coaching side. Because if we want to be real, when the coach accept the job, why don't the coach through the bowl game? If it means much to the school. Hold on. If it means that much to the school and the coach, why doesn't he coach to the bowl game, then go and do his job somewhere else?
That was my knock on Brian Kelly. Because we were in a bowl game.
Brian Kelly left because he wanted to spend time with his family.
No. Dog, you took that job at LSU. You left us high and dry. And you didn't even coach the bowl game. But here's the thing. I'm glad you didn't coach the bowl game because we won that fucking bowl game. I'm still bitter about that.
But he was spending time with his family.
I don't want to hear that shit. The Balls BJ said they proved the selection committee right.
Technically, no, they didn't. Because that the Florida State team that showed up yesterday was not even close. Keon Coleman was out. Jared Verse was out. Shoot, even the backup quarterback decided to transfer or hit the transfer portal before the game even started. So, yeah. They went back to their third quarterback.
And he said,
and this is what how much Florida State took it personal that they weren't allowed into the playoffs. So they just said, fuck it. Excuse my language, but they just said, we don't want to be here. So, yeah, we're not going to show. And so the guys of importance did not show up, and everybody else was there. That's why they got routed 65-3.
Well, it was 63-3. Don't get him the extra 2 points.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
And that's what they'll remember next time, too. This hurts teams, and the Boss BJ agrees with you. Exactly. All right. Now we got to jump into this first game, which is not even really a game. Let me get this right.
Oh, this is a great game. Oh, this is
Commanders hosting the Niners.
Grab your nachos.
Hold on. I got nachos on deck. All lines are brought to you by FanDuel, our official, unofficial partner when it comes to lines. Commanders, 14-point underdogs, over-under is 49.5. BC, KG, and whoever else. All right. Thoughts on this game?
If the Niners don't score 50 points or more, I'm gonna be at a loss for words. I think the Niners alone get the over. I think the spread is definitely 14, and I think the spread's gonna be high. I mean, I think the Niners, if you got alternate spread, I try to take it up to 20 to 30 and just take that plus 1100 or plus whatever and have some fun with it, because this Commanders team has decided, and I'm not blaming anybody because I think this is the right move, but I think anybody that has been hurt or that is hurt and they're questionable, they're out today. We got a secondary of Martin, Forbes, Tariq, -, whatever his name is, Cam Curl, and the kid Burgess. That's our secondary. I don't even know who our linebackers are. They should start Dejon Harris, But I don't know if Ron Rivera is smart enough to understand his head from his ass to make that even something. And I don't have to watch David Mayo play on a consistent basis. So I got the Niners winning. I got the Niners covering. I got the over because the Niners are going to take care of the 49.5 on their own. And that's a lock. How St. Juice do it? That's a lock. That the 49ers will cover the over by themselves.
Okay. Because it's so close to home, I'll say this, and this is probably the most elaborate I'll get on a game today. Our time is near. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. The heart is true. You are a confidant.
Yes.
And if they threw a party.
If they threw a party. Yes, indeed. And Ron invited Rivera, everybody we knew.
I wouldn't
Come on.
Keep
but, Come on. Talk to me.
Ron Rivera, our time is up. Because making this the second season in a row you've made this type of faux pas. We had a chance to make the playoffs. You say, okay, I'm going to start Wentz. I don't give a fuck what management said. You could have fired me, but I'm trying to make the playoffs. I'm trying to win ball games. Right now, I'm trying to lose ball games.
Yes.
So putting Brissett in, which would have gave you a better chance at winning, honestly, because Sam is a little shell shot.
The problem is, Jacoby, yes, with Jacoby, he was walking down the hall. He felt a little twing in his hamstring, so he couldn't go today. I'm sorry about that.
Now, you know what happened? I think they was playing Shank Wars, and he kind of fell down wrong and twisted it. He strained his hamstring. But don't get me wrong. Like I said on Thursday, I wasn't knocking Jacoby about his talent or anything. But it's so many people in the fan base that swear up and down, he's this godsend and he's the savior, and our season would have been so much better. If anybody else in the NFL would have felt that way, he would have had more of a market as a starter and not a backup.
So side note real quick. If I can get me a hairpiece like Michael Irvin that's curly and everything, would y'all still love me?
Sure. I mean,
because I'm looking at Mike's and like I don't know how Mike went from nappy to the curls to stole glow, but you know,
S curl,
yeah. Nah, he ain't S curl because that's Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman is S curl king. But I'm gonna step off of that. I'm sorry.
I mean, it's kind of funny
I'm gonna keep the boat, the oars in the boat rolling in the right direction.
Before I locked my hair when I had an afro, I was thinking about doing it. I was going to get me a nice little S curl so I could slick the sides back, had that little ducktail and shit, had Dominique Wilkins fade. Yeah.
Oh, dog. I had the temp tape and the curls back when the curls were curling right. And I was doing, but I did too much. We're going too far.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with a hot oil treatment, but.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, my dude. Yes.
Little V105. I'm taking the Niners in this one with the over. I agree with you. The Niners don't score 50 points. But here's the thing. Two Niner game. Don't look at this as like, yeah, you see we did. No. You're playing a doormat. If you do not beat them by 50, this is not a win.
So here's my thing. I think this is going to be the most Ron Rivera game of the Ron Rivera era. I think Chase Young is going to have 3 sacks today. A strip sack, a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Like I think this is the game where, like, you know how monkeys throw their poop against the wall and smear it?
Mm-hmm.
I think Chase Young is going to throw his poop against the wall and smear it against this thing. So I'm gonna take it out of you. Ain't even gotta worry about that segment. Bold prediction: Chase Young 3 sacks, a strip sack. I mean, I'm sorry. So one of those 3 is going to be a strip sack. Also in those 3 is going to be him recovering the fumble and returning for a touchdown. Mm. So it's 3 sacks, a fumble recovery, a touchdown. Yeah. That's my bold prediction.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Because it's the most Ron Rivera thing of this era.
I hate to admit it, but you're right.
Yeah.
Next game. The Saints versus the Bucks. Bucks 2.5-point favorites. Over under is 42.5. Midnight Rider.
Yo, so this is a crazy game because Michael Evans struggles against the Saints. No matter what he does against everybody else, against the Saints, I think in his last 9 games, he's got like 70 yards total. So I think he's not an option. So if you are owner of a fantasy team, your option is Chris Godwin today because, again, he struggles. Evans struggles against Lattimore. But if we bring it back full circle, this team in New Orleans is not going to rally around Derek Carr because Derek Carr has he's burnt all his bridges. And I think his efforts or his emotions towards his teammates has made this an untenable situation. So I'll take the Bucks. I'll take the -2.5. And then I'm going to go ahead and take the over because I think both teams will do enough to get us to the over. And it's late enough for us to get to the over.
I'm going to ask you a question. You brought up Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
Honest question.
I already know where I think you're going with this.
Right now, with the stats, he's in the Hall of Fame.
I knew it. I knew you was going to ask this. Yes.
I got no problem.
And the only reason you say that is because he's got 10 seasons. I think he reached the mark that it's only him and Jerry Rice, where it's like 10 seasons, 1,000 yards. When I think about Hall of Famers, the first question I always ask myself is, if I took this guy out of the out of the league, like erase his records, would it make an impact on the world? And I think Mike Evans, 10 years, 1,000 yards, makes an impact. Or if I ever think that a guy is the best person at that position, and I think Mike Evans might be an argument as one of the best, he may not be the best. So that's why he gets a definite vote. Now, we were talking about somebody like London Fletcher. No, I would never say that because I've never thought of London Fletcher as the best middle linebacker in football.
I'm not even going to argue because I never thought of him as the best middle linebacker in football. At any point in time, it was always Ray Lewis. So it's cool. All right. Cool. But numbers don't lie. I'm going to take the Bucks in this one. They'll cover with the 2.5. They'll win by 3 or more. But
but perception is real. God bless you. Mm. But perception is real. Numbers don't lie, but perception is real.
Yeah. And excuse me on that. But they'll get to the over. So I'll take the Bucks to win this one. Keep rolling. Possibly win that NFC South. Because this is a division matchup as well. Next up.
Is this Dolphins game of the day?
I think this is. You know what? I think this will be game of the day. We'll save that. Let's go to Steelers. Oh,
this is even better.
Let me do that. Let me turn that off there. Steelers versus Seahawks. I'm writing it all down in the book here.
Nah, it's all good.
Seahawks 4.5-point favorites. Over under is 40.5. Midnight Rider, what you got?
This game, I guess we still got Mason Rudolph as the the starter for Pittsburgh. I don't know. I know I sent this to you as the game of the week, or as one of the games that we should look at, but so let me take the Steelers to cover, the Seahawks to win, and I think we're going to be just over. But the thing that bothers me about this ball game is, can Mason Rudolph continue to lead the sleigh tonight with his nose so bright and find Pickens? Because that's the guy. That's the key. Pickens is the key to this offense. Because once you unlock Pickens, then you can get the Freiermuth. Then you can get to Deontay Johnson. And then you can let the backs eat.
Hmm. It's crazy you say that. Because the whole thing about Rudolph and him guiding the slate, he played a pretty damn good game last week.
Exactly.
And I'll say this. It's people, and I don't think they are true diehard Steelers fans, because in all the years that I've been watching football, and I've been watching football for quite some time, in all the years I've been watching football, I've never heard a Steelers fan call for a coach's head because they're struggling.
I gotta disagree with you a little bit, because my resident Pittsburgh Steelers fan, Timothy Vashawn Watkins, with the emphasis on the Vashawn part, because we really should call him Vashawn and not Tim. But that's a joke and an inside thing for everybody else. He has called for Bill Cowher's head. He's called for Tomlin to get fired. And the kicker of it all is, he will get very indignant about all of it. So I can't say that Steelers fan, because you can go to his house and the Steelers can be winning 21-7, but in his mind, or the way he makes it, the perception, you would think if you didn't have, like, if you were listening on the radio and you heard him only, you would think Pittsburgh was losing 21-7 and not winning 21-7.
I say that because you have an organization that, when it comes down to it, you come down to the organization and it's probably one of the best run organizations in the league. And it has been, not for the last 10 years, not for the last 20. It has been for the last 70. One of the best run organizations. And to think, this team used to lose a lot of damn games.
Three coaches yeah. Over the last, what, 50 years?
From 69 to 2023, they've only had three coaches.
That's crazy.
Hell, I remember at one point in time, the Cowboys could say that. From 1960 to
90. Talking about the Tom Landry era.
Yeah, because you had Landry all the way up. Then they only had two. I was like, that is impressive.
Yeah.
That is impressive. And congratulations to Jimmy Johnson as well for going into the Ring of Honor. Finally.
Definitely.
I love Jimmy. Like, when they inducted him into the Hall of Fame and they came on set, I thought that was like the greatest announcement of all time, because he wasn't expecting it. Everybody knew it. And when he started to tear up, I started to tear up, because I love Jimmy like that. I don't see him as a Cowboy coach. I see him as a great motivator. I see him as a great coach.
Well, you know, I'm glad
he's out of the
NFC. When it comes to things of importance, like, yesterday is too far away. And tomorrow's not promised. But what we have right now is today. Go ahead and cue up Ray. You know where I'm going with this.
Right now is all we got. You know what I'm talking about? The greatest opportunity in the world is found in today. You understand that? We don't even know what yesterday got for us. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's already gone. Tomorrow, too far away. What about right now? What about right now? Huh? Huh? Would you give it all up for me right now?
I got you.
Huh? Let's go then.
That's right. Would you give it all up for me right now? I'm sorry.
But I'm gonna take the Seahawks in this one. I'm gonna take the under. Matt checking in. He says, "Go Seahawks! Help my Raiders' small hopes."
Yeah, yeah. He's on that Lloyd Christmas, small hopes list. So you're saying there's a chance?
That's all you need. It's just a sliver of hope. You know, what's your speech coming out the tunnel? There's a gleam, man.
There's a gleam.
Next up, another divisional game. The Packers versus the Vikings. Vikings are 1.5 point favorites. Over and under is 43.5. This doesn't really pass the smell test, to be honest. Because if I'm not mistaken, the Vikings are home in this game, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You normally get 3 for being at home automatically. They got half of that. The Packers are playing very, very good ball, but let me throw it to you first. Midnight Rider, take it away.
To quote the great philosopher Casey and JoJo, if you believe in love like I believe in love, then what about us? And that's what I gotta say. My man Jordan Love. I jumped off the ship. I jumped off early in the season. We could go back to the show. I know what the show it is. It's probably like week 9 or week 10 when I was like, love doesn't love like it's supposed to love and doesn't feel like love. But now love is back to doing the things that love does. Love is being a red line in a blue sky, to quote Nia Long in the great Love Jones movie. And I think that's what he's giving us right now. Love is giving us a red line in a blue sky. The Packers wide receiver group, even though they're young and talented, but they're exceeding expectations. You know, he's got the kid Jordan Wicks, he's got the kid Jalen Reed, he's got Romeo Dobbs, Romeo, wherefore thou art thou Romeo, since we're gonna kick all the love things into this. I know you should, yeah. I'm sorry, but still
I'm loving this. I'm loving it. I'm being honest. I'm loving it.
But the key is that the Packers have made a decision to at least take in all these options that they have in the passing game. And I think the Vikings messed up because they went last week with I forgot who they started at quarterback, but it wasn't Jared Hall. It was Nick Mullins. So I don't think they should have started Mullins. I think they should have started Jerry Hall because I think Hall gave them the best opportunity. Now they're going back to Hall. But I think the momentum that they would have had is gone and is lost. So I'm going to bet on love. I'm going to let love lead me through this. I'm going to let love take me to a place where I thought I'd never be. Of course, we're talking about Jordan Love, not like love in general. And I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to take the Packers to cover, and I'm going to take the over.
All right. Here's what's crazy. It takes a fool to learn that love don't love nobody.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I that's in the great words of the Spinners.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, you say these things, and Jordan Love has played very, very well.
Testify.
And I have, you know, Romeo Dobbs. I'm sorry, Romeo, but you got to die.
No.
So, saying all of that, and it's fun with the puns and everything.
Take them to church.
The Vikings, we got to get a term for the Vikings because, you know, we have Chargering, we have Not So Ravening. We need something for the Vikings. The Vikings always find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. So, but I really want to take the Packers in this one.
Okay.
I really do. And I want to take the Packers with the under. because I think this is going to be a test.
Okay.
And then, you know, we got to give a love offering.
Oh, I know you're talking. I know where you're going with this. Take him to church. Take your time, Pastor.
You got to give a love offering to the benevolence fund.
Yes, sir.
Fun fact. What was that? What was that, about 2 years ago? I was trying to buy a stake in the Packers. I was going to buy a share. And when I went online, it was like $500. I was like, all right, I got my check and I was going to buy 2 shares in it. And when I got to do it, I got on everything and they was going to send me everything. And they was like, oh yeah, we're not selling shares right now. What do you mean? It's a publicly traded team. I was going to be an owner of the Packers, man.
Beloved, I love you.
No, not at all. But I may still, you know, do that. But I'm going to take the Packers. They're going to win this.
This is the real.
All of it is. All of it. I got to sit down and make that. But I'm going to take the Packers. Give me the under, though. So.
Okay.
Now we'll shoot over the game of the week. And this is number one versus number two in the AFC. Ravens hosting the Dolphins. If I'm not mistaken, that they are in. Are they in? Because I always put the favorite last. So please forgive me.
It's all good. I'm gonna effort and try to get us and know who's the home team. But go ahead and talk. The Ravens are the home
team. Yeah. 11-4 versus 12-3. Ravens are 3-point favorites. 46.5 is the over-under. Midnight Rider, take it away.
I don't know why this ball game is at 1 o'clock.
Like, yeah, this should be at 8 o'clock.
They should have flexed this out. Even if they flex it back to 4, because at 4 o'clock, you got only thing you have is the Bengals. We got Bengals, Chiefs, Steelers, Seahawks, and Chargers, Broncos. But this game should have gotten more of a better platform than being buried at 1 o'clock. We got Dolphins, Ravens. So, to quote the Raven Nevermore, I think that the Ravens have enough defense to squash the offensive queries by the Miami Dolphins. And I know the Dolphins have enough electricity in terms of their movement and the way that this offense moves. But I think the Ravens are so solid on defense. They had a Jadeveon Clowney sighting last week or the last 2 weeks, which is amazing. And then the fact that you got Patrick Queen and what's the dude from Georgia? Roquan Smith at your linebacker position. And for some reason, the team in Washington that has two linebackers as their defensive coaches, but they decided that linebacker wasn't important enough. But we know that linebacker is important. It's amazing. Like, I didn't mean to go off on a tangent, but I think these two guys, Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen, will bring enough to the table that they're going to shut down the options for Miami. And I take the Ravens, I take the number, and I think the running back that plays quarterback for the Ravens, because the world somehow still isn't progressive enough to understand that black quarterbacks matter. And they set the legislation for what is good quarterback play. I'm going to take the Ravens in this ball game, and I'm going to take the over. So I got Ravens, Ravens, Ravens. Every part of this number.
It's not a problem. You said something. I don't know if you've seen what I sent you on Twitter.
I think I did, but go ahead.
We were talking about black quarterbacks. We were talking about, God, of course I can't find it. I tagged you in it. I didn't tweet it, so I got it. Oh, they deleted the post. And from Fox Sports Radio. Oh, they deleted it. What's her name? Monse?
Oh, Balena? I saw that. That's shorty, yeah.
She said, I want my quarterbacks to be quarterbacky. To me, Lamar Jackson is just a great athlete. He had a great game against the 49ers. Prisoner of the moment. And when you say, I want my quarterbacks to be quarterbacky, one lady that I follow that is real heavy in the football, she was like, no, you don't want them quarterbacky. Oh, no, she said, you want them to be quarterbacky, but not quarterblacky.
Yes, yeah, I like that.
And the knock on Lamar for the last few years is he's just a running back that plays quarterback. Mm-hmm. But when you have a quarterback of another persuasion that runs.
Yes, sir.
He's elusive. He's got a steel ability. He's this, uh-huh. He's that. But when it comes to Lamar finally got weapons.
Say it again. Say it again. Say it with your chest. Say it with your chest.
Weapons.
Yes, sir.
He got weapons. Mm. Now, here's what's crazy. Patrick Mahomes runs. Nobody calls, nobody takes away from Pat Mahomes.
No.
But it's always Lamar is just a glorified running back. Oh, yes, okay.
Because he's spinning a narrative about our quarterbacks. Like, the problem is our quarterbacks are never just quarterbacks. Our quarterbacks are never just smart. Our quarterbacks are never just gritty. Our quarterbacks are never just smart enough in the scheme to run things. That's the story about our quarterbacks. But I'm gonna let you take this because I got a whole thing that I could do.
I know you do. And the thing is, this is nothing new. Think about Warren Moon having to go play in the CFL after college. And when he finished his career, he was the all-time leader in passing yards in pro football history.
Say it again.
He was one of the most prolific passers, not just in the NFL, but pro football, period.
Mm-hmm.
It took him forever to get in the Hall of Fame, being a great black quarterback. And it's sad that here we are going in, this is the last day of 2023. We're going into 2024 in under 12 hours on the East Coast. And we're still having this conversation about a black quarterback not being respected as a quarterback.
Because?
That is a fucking problem.
Because?
Because he's not quarterbacky enough.
There it is.
This young lady, I don't really hope for anybody to lose their job, but I hope she's reprimanded for saying that.
No, but you got to give her just due because she created a conversation. Like the problem that I think like me and you have at times is because we know what we know, but we don't always give respect to people that create conversations. And what she really did was she Colin Cowherd this thing. She created the conversation and made herself relevant in the moment because I when I listened to the take, like I felt like she was reaching throughout the course of the take. But I liked it because now she's creating diction and dialogue about who this kid is, Lamar Jackson.
Well, Lamar's an MVP and on his way. And also she said Christian McCaffrey should be the NFL MVP. Now, granted, I don't think we should keep forcing this MVP award on quarterbacks. But if the numbers are great, the numbers are great. I think you may have co-MVPs this year. I think it may be.
There ain't no co.
It may be Lamar and Christian McCaffrey. We've had co-MVPs.
Ain't no co. You got to decide. They got to decide. No co.
Okay, when they needed to decide, when it was Steve McNair and Peyton Manning, I think Steve McNair should have had that alone. But they gave it to him and Peyton Manning.
Well, again, that's different time, different era. But right now,
don't get me wrong, they both got it in. They had great seasons.
Right.
Just my opinion. But onto this game.
Dolphin
to quote, a great Dolphin and Flipper, I mean, you quoted the Ravens, so I had to quote a Dolphin, so, you know. But I'm going to take the Ravens in the over in this. Not because the Dolphins are washed or anything like that. I just think this is going to be a really, really good game, man. I think it's going to be an excellent game. I think this is going to live up to the hype. It's going to be like that heavyweight battle that you like blow for blow. And you can be like, yo, somebody going to get knocked out. But every time somebody's knees get wobbly, somebody else, the other team will stand up and start throwing their own haymakers. It's going to be a good game. So give me the Ravens in this one. It's going to be close. It's going to come down to a Justin Tucker field goal. And I'm going to call it 38-35 Ravens.
So you got to push.
Well, that's three. It's three.
Right. So you're calling for a push. It has to be more than three.
It has to be more than three. I thought if they won by – okay.
So say they win by three, it's a push.
All right. 38-34. Let's go. 38-34. All right. Well, you already gave your bold prediction. Let me give my bold prediction. Your bold prediction was Chase Young, three sacks, a fumble, and a fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Yep.
My bold prediction.
You know what? Hold on. Let me add extra spice to this. I think the San Francisco 49ers will have 14 points scored by their defense.
I'm not even going to touch this game with a 10-foot pole. I'm going to stick with the game up the road with the Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson has 250 passing and over 100 yards rushing with at least three touchdowns combined.
That's our bold prediction, right?
Yeah.
All right, so safe bet.
Safe bets.
I think my safe bet is that Arthur Smith will keep B. John Robinson from being great. No, all right, so seriously. I got it right here. Kyren Williams, University of Notre Dame, running back. Against the New York Giants, we'll have 125 yards rushing and two TDs.
Said I was going to stay away from it, but I can't. I can't quit you, boss. I can't quit you. Sam Howell will be sacked at least five times a day. That's a safe bet.
All right, I'm going to double down in the safe territory. And I'm going to take Justin Fields to have 100 yards rushing and 300 yards passing today against the Falcons. Mm. That's the safe.
Mm. Damn, that sounds good. Okay. Next up, what you eating today? New Year's Eve.
Oh. So we're having a heavy debate right now. Because I don't know if I want to go with the comfort food early or the comfort food late. So debate is, I'm making spaghetti today. I know that's the fact. So I think I'm going to go ahead and make spaghetti. But I think that's going to be my meal for the rest of the week. And I think I'm going to cook a steak. I'm going to do steak with butter, garlic, grilled onions. That's going to be my lunch. Mm. I got a ribeye sitting in the joint ready to go.
Damn. Okay. As far as lunch goes, I don't have any lunch plans. I may just get me a nice little cold cut sandwich and that'll keep me rocking. But for the New Year's Eve celebration, we have a tradition where we have game night on New Year's Eve. We game until about 11, you know, board games from Monopoly to Pacino, things like that, right? So We may be doing, we'll be doing that. And then about 11, normally that's when the boys come out. You know, that's when we either jump on the division, throw some Madden in, something. We just play and play and play and play. Speaking of which, I got to put the boss BJ out here because he ain't here to defend himself. What was that? Madden 22. I was home with COVID. We played Madden 22 on New Year's Eve. As the clock struck 12, my Washington football team beat his Buffalo Bills 24-3. No, I'm sorry. No, it wasn't 24-3. It was 24-21. I'm sorry. I beat him by three. And then immediately I was like, first win of 2022, I'm done. And I didn't play that Madden again. I may have played it once or twice with Dario, but I didn't play it again because I was like, no, I'm holding on to that so I can say I'm undefeated. But it's very rarely over the years, over the last 27 years, it's very rare that I beat the boss BJ in Madden. So.
Yo, so it's funny because you talk about you and the boss BJ. So, like, I have two of my buddies that I used to play Madden with. We probably haven't lived up to our Madden responsibilities in the last probably 10 years to be nice about it. So I used to play my boy Kel and my boy Thomas. So the difference was Thomas was the take the air out of football. I'm going to manage the clock. We're going to be strict about this, you know. We're going to run the game. We're going to run the ball. So I knew with him, I had limited opportunities to allow my offense to fly. And then on the other side, my buddy Markel, he blitzed with, what's the word I want to use? He would be able to blitz, and you think that everybody is open, but still get an interception. Like, he was a defensive genius of the group. So when I played, I was the offensive guru. We got a thing. They got a thing we call the Southeast offense, because our offense is predicated on the slots. And I just didn't care. So if we gonna play, I'm gonna get my 30. My defense, I don't care what my defense does, because I just need the ball back so I can score again. That was my belief. Like, you're not gonna outscore me. And we got Matt in the comments, so let me digress real quick to Matt.
He says, tonight is our Christmas, air quotations there. Ham, damn. Green, green bean casserole, cheese, potatoes, and sausage. That sounds pretty damn cool.
I like that.
Hey man, you got me at ham. I was already hooked.
I might do some cheesy potatoes now that I think about it, because I got time. And if I throw the steak on, and then maybe maybe to settle the thing, I'll do the chili, the leftover chili. I'll throw that in and then throw the rest away, because that way I got a meal right away, and I ain't gotta worry about cooking the steak until later on this evening. All right, I like this. I like this. I like where we're going.
Now for me, we're having party wings. We're gonna, she said she's gonna bake some, she's gonna air fry some, and then she's gonna deep fry some with macaroni salad.
Okay.
Sorry, tuna salad. Everybody calls it something different, but tuna salad. So that's what we're having. That's always our New Year's Eve thing.
I'm just going to say, if you hear a knock at the door, I'm joking. No. I know where you live.
Yeah, well, that is true.
Yeah.
One of the few.
Yes, indeed. But no, let's take a side step back from that. Honestly, bruh, I appreciate you on Christmas Day. I know what you said to me, and I know what I said to you, but it was really an honor. It was a gift. Even giving me the responsibility of having your two boys and doing the show with what I call the bloodline, that's a big responsibility. And I appreciate you for just being or allowing me to have that responsibility. And I appreciate you, the Sideline Junkies, the whole community, whether it's Lady C, whether it's Don Rodriguez, the Nubian Sumo, Delonte, the big guy, the boss man. Who am I missing? Jimmy. It's Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
All of y'all. I appreciate everybody for allowing me the opportunity in this space. So that's my way to end my 2023 with you guys.
See, it's kind of crazy that you're going there, but that's cool. It's cool. It's cool. we discussed Christmas Day, and I told you meant a lot. I just leave it at that. You know, I know. That's all that need to be said.
Right.
Man, this is to say we coming up on what's this? We've been doing this since 2017. So we're going into officially 7 years of podcasting, and we have grown tremendously. Like, we've evolved. We used to be just the audio podcast.
Right.
We used to be just straight audio. And it's crazy because when we first started out, I remember we got our first listen.
Junie.
Yeah, you haven't met Junie yet. And speaking of hopes for 2024, I hope 2024 is the year that we get to hear the man as cool as ice, twice as nice, and ain't never had a bad day in his life, Junie, back on the airwaves. Because, man, I got like a list of stuff that we got to talk about, because that's my... When we talk about 90s basketball, I know I always got an ally that's going to ride in the battle with me on his noble white steed, side by side into that battle. And we not going to lose. We never lose, because we're going to bring up some stuff on you. So I hope that's one of my hopes for 2024. I hope that he's back on the airwaves just a little bit for 2024. Really do. And 7 years, and we used to do this show on Saturdays. We would do this show Saturday afternoon, and that was our show for the week. Then the bug bit, and then next thing you know, we were doing it two times a week. Then we decided to add in wrestling. Then we decided to add in, you know, four shows a week with wrestling. It's beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, we used to do two shows on Sunday. We used to do three shows, actually. We did all the 1 o'clock games. Then a show for the 4 o'clock games. Then we did a recap at 7. Like, Sunday was like the busiest day. I to say we've come a long way is an understatement. It's an understatement. It couldn't have happened without yourself, Midnight Rider, the boss, BJ, Junie, Big Jim, Delonte, Lady C, Nubian Sumo, Don Rodriguez, and Junie, and everybody come together, and it's like everybody feed off of everybody. We didn't have to be in the same room or nothing, but we fed off each other.
I mean, the biggest flex for me, and like the thing that everybody didn't get, was that the fact that the three of us, when I say the three of us, me, you, and the boss, BJ, we never met until that day at the Lanham Studios for Clear Productions, or the Laurel Studios for Clear Productions. But that was us. I mean, it was literally a thing. And I appreciate you, brothers, because you just accepted me. You let me in. And I'm gonna tell everybody anytime that if you give me an opportunity, I ain't leaving until you tell me I can't show up. So if it's a Tuesday night and I can make it, I'm gonna make it Tuesday. If I can make it Thursday, I'm gonna make it Thursday. But yeah, until you tell me I can't show up, yeah, I'm gonna be here.
And what's crazy is that Tuesday and Thursday, neither one of us is supposed to be here. You were there on Tuesday. I came back on Thursday. They were supposed to fill in for us. We were supposed to have a whole week off.
Hey, so, man.
It happens.
What we do is because it's not work. It's what we love.
But let me, before we get out of here, your hopes for 2024.
Honestly, I hope the Washington, and when I say Washington, I'm talking about all the franchises in Washington, that they actually see the results or the fruits of their labor. Because we're in a space where I know back in 2019, 2018, you were probably trying, you were christening the city as the city of champions. Well, now we're in the part where we're the city of rebuilding. And I think we really need to get back to a point where these franchises are creating footprints into becoming better and creating legacies and dynasties in terms of being teams that people want to go see. And just so you know, if you find a game on the weekend, because this is the time now with the Wizards, I think we can get cheap seats. So like let's take advantage of that if we can as a group. But other than that, I just think we're just in a space that Washington has to grow as a city, and their teams have to grow.
Here's a thing, and it's crazy because I was on the hype train. I did a whole solo podcast. I remember sitting down doing that and writing out everything so I could get it done the correct way about this city being the city of champions, because we had the WNBA champions.
Right.
We had the World Series champions, Stanley Cup champions.
Yep.
And I was like, all we need is one more. One more, and I think we won. Oh, and then we had the Arena League champion. So we had four. I was like, we have four championships in the span of 2 years. This is Title Town USA right now. That was your thing.
That was your thing. I remember that.
Yeah, and I was hard on it, but the Nats have fell off. The Valor are defunct. That was the Arena Football League. The Mystics can't get past the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
The Caps are struggling.
Well, the Caps are going to be middling right now because they're trying to find themselves. So, if they find themselves, they're going to be a playoff team, and if not, they're going to be a low level playoff team.
I just wish it wasn't like that, but hey, it is what it is.
We just gotta hope that in our lifetime it comes back to what you wanted to be.
I hope. And at one point in time, you had a city full of winners. You had the Redskins at the time constantly in the playoffs, constantly in contention for a Super Bowl. The Bullets at the time were in the finals. In the 70s, the Bullets were in the finals. Like, what, 5 out of 10 years? Or was it 6 out of 10 years?
Something crazy like that, yeah.
They were in the finals all the time. And then all of a sudden, the 80s hit, and it was like, yeah, all right, fuck that shit. But maybe we can get back to having that type of perennial winner. So
real quick, late news. I'm on my Bleacher Report, and it looks like there's a Raiders rumor that Mark Davis is increasingly impressed by Antonio Pierce as a head coach option. I'm going to say that that's a plus, but it's also a negative, because I think also that Mark Davis understands that he can't keep paying everybody to coach his team. So he's probably still playing John Gruden. He's probably still playing, well, I know he's still paying Josh McDaniels. So I think, for the lack of a better term, our guy Antonio Pierce is his best of his options, just because he doesn't have to pay him a lot. I'll let that resonate with you and have you take it.
I can see that. And, you know, Antonio Pierce got Black Air Force One energy, so.
I got you.
He came out his first game he coached, Black Air Force Ones. You already knew he came. He was about that business. So,
all right.
But I think that'll be a good thing. I think that somebody said it. It was a Raiders fan that said it. They said, letting Antonio Pierce go, they did that once before with an interim coach that did really, really well with the players.
Yeah,
and they let him walk. Yeah, they let him walk. And letting him walk kind of messed everything up because it set them back because they had to pay somebody else. So I think this is good for them. Final thoughts before we roll out.
I think that today's going to be a day where we start getting some of the details figured out in terms of the playoff picture. You know, all the teams that are so-called in the hunt, I think we get a clearer picture of how that plays out. And I think we're going to be down to the final, like, I think it's what, 7 teams to be in the playoffs? So I think we're going to get down to 7. I think we'll get down to 8 or 9 teams. And next week makes a big decision. And when I say next week, I'm talking in terms of the Texans, Colts, and some other teams that their final 2 games, their final game, really puts everything into focus.
Next week's Black Monday. I don't think I've ever been looking forward to a Black Monday ever, but I'm looking forward to it. So,
gotcha.
My final thoughts. It's the last show of 2023. Thank you to everybody. If you've been a part of this show, whether it's in the comments, whether it's Joe the Fan. And that's another thing not this Tuesday, which is the 2nd, the 9th. I want to start lining up Joe the Fans. I want to see if we can line them up at least about a month. Like that's how confident I am for 2024. So we can start putting some feelers out there and we just put them in a book. Okay, we got so and so on this day, so and so, and we just write it down.
Dog, trust me. Yeah. I got things already in the hopper, already cooking up. I'm trying to get us a draft prospect for the 2024 draft. Kid named Cohen King, who's also a family friend because I went to school with his dad at George Mason. So I want the dad 1 week. I'm trying to get the kid the following week. We got shows lined up. I'm trying to get an agent. I got a dude that's an NBA agent, Michael Whitaker, who I'm trying to get him for a show so we can talk about the forecasting and how even teams even see this NBA process and also how we see it through the lens of the guys that he has in the league. So trust me, bro, I got you.
And then, you know, when the football offseason comes and, you know, we talk about NBA, you know we can talk about. Greatest MVP race of all time. We can go ahead and talk about it. We into it is what we can do. Like, there is no greater MVP race than that. We can get into it. So that's an off-season topic. But
I'm sorry.
Man, this has been a great ride. So for the Midnight Ride, I'm the big guy, KG.
Right.
For the boss, BJ.
Right.
The man, the myth, the legend, Big Jim.
Mm-hmm.
The man of the hour, tower of power, too sweet to ever be sour, Delonte. Uh-huh. The man that's cool as ice, twice as nice, and ain't never had a bad day in his damn life, Junie. The swamp queen, none other than Lady C. We are the Sideline Junkies. And we wish you all a Merry New Year. But we don't do no overtime, baby. It's time to clock out. For the year, we clocking out. We are out of here. We ain't out yet, but we out. We out.
All right.
We out.